Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chains nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, and everybody got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb to help the economy. We live in an upside-down, topsy-turvy kind of world. And I was talking to somebody yesterday about the truth movement, and he asked me what I thought about a couple of figures in it. And he didn't like what I told him, and it's just I tried to explain when you come out of the normal slave job type existence, and I don't want to disparage anybody who's got a slave job. There is noble forms of slavery out there. You think that because you're getting out of the system of lies, deceit, deception, scumbaggery, sociopathy, psychopathy, all forms of scumbaggery, that you'll come into this movement and it doesn't exist anymore. It's not the case. There's far less of it, sure, but it still exists. And it's a very disillusioning thing. And I think what happens is people have that realization that, oh, my God, the truth movement's not actually all together. It's not actually all campfires and kumbaya. There's actually a whole lot of crap going on behind the scenes here. And all these people that I thought were my heroes and who would never put a foot wrong and all of that kind of stuff turn out to be freaking psychopathic, megalomaniac pieces of trash. Oh, my goodness. And then as a result, they go, you know, frack this truth movement. I'm not going to do anything to help humanity. Throwing the baby out with the bathwater, man. It's not cool. It's not cool. Just find the good people, okay? And good people will be easily identified. They're usually very nice and very friendly and giving of their time and their resources to others. And they don't partake in revenge and whatever. But, you know, I just wanted to kind of make that clear to people because the day might come where I turn into some form of douchebag, and I would wish very much that my listeners would expose me and get me the frack out of any position of public influence that I might have obtained at such a point so that I don't continue to do damage to other people's lives and the movement itself. Okay? I'll keep questioning whether or not I'm becoming said douchebag, but if I ever actually do, and it slips my knowledge, I need you to expose me. I do. I really do. Now, my very special guest for the, we need to come up with some sort of a name for these sort of news segments or something, don't we, Suzanne? Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com.
Hello, everyone.
What have you got for us today? Anything hot on the presses?
Yeah, the Navy, the U.S. Navy says, oh, God, climate change is causing a national security threat because of rising sea levels. We can't float our boats. So you got to stop driving your cars and expelling that CO2. Don't breathe. One professor suggested that everybody skip every third breath. Maybe that'll help.
Why don't you just kill every third person, Professor? Maybe that'll help.
Yeah. Don't forget that our plants need CO2 to live. So if we get rid of all the CO2, we're not going to have any plant life. And yeah, subsequently, any other life.
Well, what's a bigger threat to the global cycle? Carbon, which is one of the four building blocks of life, which we are carbon-based molecules and the plants need to breathe, or nano-aluminium-coated fiberglass being sprayed out of freaking chemtrail planes all day long. You know?
I think the U.S. Navy is a bigger threat to the globe than carbon.
Yeah. Think about it. You know, you have on the one side this little infinitesimal molecule that you can't see, and on the other side, you have a destroyer shooting a Tomahawk cruise missile at you. Which is the biggest threat?
Right. Exactly.
I think the Tomahawk cruise missile. I could be wrong. With you. Maybe I'm not. Maybe I haven't been schooled in chemistry enough.
Well, that's their claim. I have another article that I put out yesterday that went viral, and for good reason. In Colorado, the sheriffs are being threatened to have their pay slashed or refused if they continue to uphold the Second Amendment and do not start supporting the federal gun grab.
Go on.
Oh, that's really big. I mean, they're telling the sheriffs, who are elected officials, that they're not going to pay them. The city is not going to pay them. The county is not going to allow their salaries to go through. And this is all because a lot of constitutional sheriffs, as of last year and into this year, have been standing up and writing letters to Obama and Vice President Biden, and also to that lovely Senator Dianne Feinstein, who has the assault weapons ban of 2013, who, by the way, recently said that all veterans possibly are mentally defective, so none of them should have guns, even though it was okay that they shoot a gun when they were in service, but as they come out, they no longer should have the right to shoot that gun. So these constitutional sheriffs are getting now threatened in Colorado to not get paid for their services that they're rendering, and they're protecting the Second Amendment rights and upholding the Constitution, not only in the state level, but on the U.S. Constitution's rights to bear arms, and they're being demonized even further.
Now, exactly what is going on here in terms of Dianne Feinstein? I mean, what are her qualifications? Because I've heard a lot about this woman, but I've heard a lot about her, but I don't know anything about her. You know what I'm saying? Apart from the fact that she's a gun grabber and has a concealed carry and many armed guards while telling everybody else to not have any guns.
Well, she's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. She is.
There's a big red commie flag right there.
Yeah, exactly. She also was the champion of the 1994 assault weapons ban that was only good for 10 years after the Columbine shooting with former President Bill Clinton. And so she's back saying, oh, and she also said last week that it's legal to hunt humans. I didn't know that. I don't understand how they get elected. I don't understand. I guess what confuses me is how strong all of these chemicals that we're ingesting and all of this propaganda is that we're ingesting that causes us to elect these people into a seat where they have the power to enact these crazy laws and make these incredible statements, and yet we still vote them in. That is baffling to me. I'm confused.
You know, it's like we're creating Dr. Feinstein's monster. You know, it's alive! It's alive! Oh.
But it's not allowed to have a gun. And meanwhile...
Only a torch and a pitchfork.
Right. Well, meanwhile, DHS just spent $4.5 million on gun parts. So they're not only buying up the ammo, they're not only buying up riot gear and armored vehicles that can withstand an improvised explosive device blast, but now they're buying up $4.5 million worth of parts on guns that would be, you know, easily replaceable because they would break easily. And so they're gearing up. They're even buying, like, extra parts in case their guns break down. They can just fix them right on spot and keep shooting you.
So, you know, when a soldier gets shot, he yells, "Medic!" And when a gun blows up, he yells, "Mechanic!" And he comes in and repairs his gun so he can shoot people. And then they say, "Medic!" again.
And the other thing that's crazy is all of this money is coming from the taxpayers. We're paying for our own tyrannical takeover.
Hey, well, you can't tyrannically take people over without getting them to pay for it. I mean, how else would you afford it? And more to the point, how would you get people to go along with it unless they were paying for it? Have you ever had a conversation with somebody about tax or anything like that? And they say, "I'm paying my taxes," and la 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 la, and they're really proud of it. And they say that after you've had a conversation where they agree with you about a huge amount of crazy government expenditure, which is enslaving them, taking away their rights, and increasing their taxes, and under-delivering on their promises. And yet they're still proud to pay it. They still want to even pay more for the good of everybody, even though they already know that it ain't doing anybody any good.
Yes, I'm confused by all of this. I know that we have a lot of chemicals in the food and water and in the air and all the crap that we watch on television that reworks our minds. It's baffling to me how this system works. I just don't understand how anyone... We're not capable anymore of having an independent thought. And along those lines, I put out an article today about... Al Gore has this website, it's called Reality Drops, where he's encouraging all of the eco-fascists and all of the alarmists who believe that, you know, man is causing all this climate change and we have to, you know, stop CO2 and stop breathing.
Oh, because if anybody knows about reality, it's Mr. Hockey Stick Graph that goes backwards in time.
Yes, yes. Well, Michael Mann came out as well. You know, he's hiding behind Penn State. But he comes out publicly every once in a while. And so with this reality drops, Gore is mobilizing a internet Stasi network of trolls to go out there, and he actually teaches them how to troll people who are climate change deniers, like you and I. When I post an article exposing climate change as a hoax, then these Stasi would come in and these trolls would come in, and they've already been trained. So they know what to say to sway the public, whoever reads in the comment threads.
Now, there is also a phenomenon that I've noticed a lot about truth movement channels in particular, is that they have disabled comment sections. I'm not sure how I feel about that at the moment, because on the one hand, we're talking about huge quantities of paid, trained troll scum who come in there, muddy the waters, basically make whatever video you're putting up for naught, but for anybody who reaches the comments. So there's that. You can just block all comments altogether. Whereas I like to allow everybody to comment and, you know, have all those perspectives and everything. However, if somebody's obviously a troll, I won't delete their comments. I'll just block that particular person because I don't like having... scumbags insulting me and things of that nature. And usually if you block them, you never hear from that person again.
Unless they get creative and set up a fake account. and just keep flaming back at you. I've had that before.
Yeah. Well, you know, they only will create new things for a short period of time anyway before they lose interest. Kind of like, you know, feeding the beast. You're familiar with the term, right? And
yes.
A troll in mythology is a kind of beast. Don't feed it.
Yes, it's like that little sign, you know, don't feed the bears, don't feed the wild animals. They're dependent on opposition. And they thrive on it. They probably breed it at home. They probably breed it at their job with their friends and family, if they have any friends left. They feed off of this. It's an emotional dependency. If they're not in opposition of something, they go nuts. It's like they can't function.
Yeah. Like Mary Mary, quite contrary. Suzanne Posel is my guest from OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com. We'll be right back. After the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. There's only one thing I need to know. Whose side are you on? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, and we have very special guests from all over the world of varying descriptions, subject matters, and maybe even levels of intelligence agency involvement. My very special guest today is Anne Bressington, I believe, coming at us from the most wonderful cacophony of both sunshine and torrential rain that I have ever seen. It's the island continent of Australia. And welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Welcome to you and your listeners.
I am so, so excited to have you on the show. I must say, I'm getting like mini palpitations.
Settle down, take a breath.
Yeah, maybe. I think everybody just figured out I'm a mouth breather, knuckle dragger there. Okay, anyway, Anne, we have some standard journalism questions for you, the who, what, when, where, why, and how. So,
right.
Let's start with the who, just to explain a little bit about who you are.
I am an independent member of the Legislative Council, or the Upper House, in South Australia. I was elected into Parliament in 2006, and there you go, that's it. Legislative Council is the House of Review for legislation. We decide whether legislation goes through or whether it doesn't. And, I've been on a huge learning curve since 2006.
Okay. Would the American equivalent be like a senator or something?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Well, even the Australian equivalent for our federal government would be a senator.
Okay, and what is it you're actually doing right now? And the reason why we're having it on your show is regarding Agenda 21. What tipped you off about all that?
Look, in about 2008, I came across a few documents when I was researching a piece of legislation that we were doing, and Agenda 21 was mentioned, and, you know, you follow the thread, and I started reading about it, and I thought, no, that can't be right. You know, no way would an Australian government set Australia and Australians up for something like this. So I did dismiss it. But then I started to see a pattern of legislation coming through, and the tenor of legislation interfering with people's rights and about land, property ownership. And I thought, oh, so I went back and studied it a bit more. And I thought, well, you know what? We are in the throngs of this, and we are on the verge of rolling this out at lightning speed. And I mentioned it in Parliament and got dismissed as a conspiracy theorist, as I do when I talk about fluoride or chemtrails or any of those things that every ordinary citizen, you know, knows something about. And then I decided when Lord Monckton was over here that it was actually time to start telling people out there about what we were doing and how far down the line we'd come with Agenda 21.
And in terms of when, do you think this entire policy will be enacted? Do they have a game plan, you know, all Agenda 21 policy will be implemented by 2025 or something?
Well, they do. I don't believe that it's that far away. It's in 2025. We are seeing now legislation where farmers are being literally driven off their land through what we call Natural Resource Management Act. We have natural resource management officers in Australia who have more power than the police. They can come onto your property without a warrant. They can demand your financial records. They can tell you what you can and can't do on your land, how many head of stock you can have on your land. We also have the Water Management Act that is restricting farmers' access to water because we're being told that it's such a finite resource, which is also causing our food bowl to shrink. Dairy farmers have been hit the hardest at the moment. We had, in one particular area, we had 4 years ago 1,700 dairy farms in South Australia. Now we have 98, and some of those are on the verge of closing down. We're also seeing an attack on property rights, as in the government changing what you can and can't do with your land under the heritage status legislation. So we're seeing it coming in, attacking from all sides, really. And this is of concern to me because this is the main part of Agenda 21, is to do away with rural communities altogether, herd people into the cities to live, and return most of the areas out there that would be farming or you know, cattle stations, return that back to native vegetation and probably no-go zones for human beings.
And where did Agenda 21 actually come from? Where did it originate?
Well, it's interesting because we tracked it, or I tracked it back to Club of Rome in 1968, I think it was. A group of people got together and decided that we needed a common cause to unite humanity, which would, of course, be environmentalism. Turn that into basically one world religion, and everything is about saving the planet, and human beings are seen as a scourge to the planet. The way we consume, what we eat, appliances that we use in our home is all contributing to the destruction of this planet. And they decided that if they come up with a common cause, which was, or few actually, famine, climate change, water shortages, all of those sorts of things, that would be enough to get people to unite and agree to this ridiculous agenda. And then, of course, it was finalised at the Rio conference in 1998. Government signed off on that. And then we started to roll it out from back then. And the interesting part of this is that no government has actually come out, and well, no government in Australia has actually come out and said, okay, this is Agenda 21, this is what we're going to do, this is why we're going to do it, and this is going to be the end game for you guys. You're not going to be able to own your own land or manage your own land. Your movements are going to be restricted. You know, your food bowl is going to be reduced because apparently, you know, cows produce methane and therefore we must reduce stock numbers. We will be a net food importer within a short period of time. But you know what? It's all for the benefit of the planet. So this is what we're going to do over the next 10, 15, 20 years. Get used to it. No government has had the guts to come out and lay it out on the table for the people to justify the measures that they're taking. And I think that's the part that annoys me the most, because this sort of stuff affects every man, woman and child on this planet. And Australia's not the only one rolling this out, as you well know. And if governments can't come out and be honest with the people about what they're doing and why they're doing it, then that tells me that there's a dirty little secret in there somewhere.
If somebody keeps information from you, it's usually for their benefit.
Absolutely.
And lastly, how exactly do you think that this can be resisted? Is it a public awareness thing? Because you've simply laid out that almost every single policy that's being passed through Parliament right now is being done for false pretenses.
Yes, that's exactly right. And how do we fix this? Well, you know, we are operating now under corporate law rather than by our constitution, because by our constitution these laws would be invalid. And I'm encouraging people to start at local council level, which is where these policies are actually being rolled out. Government can legislate on the big mainframe stuff like natural resource management, water plans, development and planning legislation. But local government is being given the money and the resources to roll this out slowly. And I'm asking people to challenge, first of all, the validity of local government, because it is only there by the will of the Parliament. It has no statutory authority at all. And when people start to challenge local government, then they can get some answers about what authority local government actually has to enact all of this legislation. And they have none. So we're asking people, first of all, to put a private property sign on your front gate, because by law now, if anybody enters your property and that gate is closed and you have that sign on the gate, then there's already been high court challenges in Australia to show that people are trespassing, and that you don't actually have to give permission for these natural resource management people to come onto your property for any other reason other than to talk. I'm in the process at the moment of having the Natural Resource Management Act repealed. I'm hoping that I'll get the numbers to do that, and that'll be a very interesting public debate. But until then, there are some precautions that people can take, as in putting that sign on your front gate, keeping your front gate closed, and not allowing access to people unless they give you reasonable notice, and unless they lay out in writing exactly why they want to come onto your property. So we had a case of a disabled couple on the border of, I think it was Victoria and Canberra, and they were both, you know, quite elderly and disabled, and they had a small property, and these equivalent of natural resource office management officers came onto their property, declared all of their belongings to be illegal rubbish, bought a skip, loaded it all into the skip, and then locked them out of their house and off their property, claiming that they were environmental vandals. So that's how far this will roll out. That's people would think that's an extreme case. But what's happening is they're starting on the outskirts, you know, and picking on the most vulnerable, and harassing them and intimidating them, depriving them of their rights, and, of course, it'll roll out from there.
And are people able to lawfully protect their private property using force if such an instance happens?
Well, as I said earlier, these natural resource management officers have more power than the police. So the police need a warrant to come and search your home. Natural resource management officers do not. They need reasonable suspicion to come onto your property. These natural resource management officers do not need that. Police cannot access your financial records unless, of course, they believe that you're involved in criminal activity and that you've got unexplained wealth from the proceeds of crime. So police have all these limitations on them. Natural resource management officers have none of those limitations. So what we're saying now is go back to your common law rights of your property and restrict access to your property in a peaceful way. Write a letter. And this is what people aren't doing, is putting things in writing. They are relying on telephone calls and telephone conversations. And let me tell you, that's a trend, that's a dangerous trend that we've started, where we are fearful or too lazy or whatever to put anything in writing and keep a paper trail. Because I believe that in a court of law, if any of these people try to breach your common law rights, that the courts would find in your favour. And we've actually had a few people who have taken on this challenge and have won. So, you know, it's a muck around, it's a lot of hassle, but at the end of the day, it's up to every individual to protect their rights and to ensure that common law is used to our benefit. That's the only, really the only tool that we have got to set right injustices. And if we don't start to get familiar with that and we don't start to utilise what is still there, although that is being, you know, etched away as we speak, then these people will come in and they will ride roughshod over you and your life. And we've got to take a stand. We've got to stop it.
Do you, are you concerned that certain people might violently defend their property against these agents of the government and start off like some kind of an insurrection?
I am, and I've heard plenty of talk of it. And my advice to people is that's exactly what they want. So there is a peaceful way to do this. There is a reasonable way to do this. And at the moment, there is still mechanisms in law that allow you to do this properly. And I would suggest that, you know, as I said, first of all, a letter in writing to your local council. Why do you want access to my property?
And unfortunately, we're coming to break now. And also, my advice would be record absolutely every single conversation you have with these people so you can prove it. We'll be right back.
Nicotine, alcohol, good drugs. Coincidentally, tax drugs. Ooh, how does this work? Thank God they're taxing alcohol, man. It means we got those good roads we can drive on. Because I'll tell you something, I'll be honest, man. If I were going to legalize a drug, it sure wouldn't have been alcohol. Sorry, there's better drugs and better drugs for you. That's a fact. Pot is a better drug than alcohol. Fact. Fact. Stop your internal dialogue. But Bill, alcohol's a... Shut up! You're wrong. Get over it. I'll prove it to you, man. You're at a ball game or a concert and someone's really violent and aggressive and obnoxious. Are they drunk?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Having some problems with the advertisements and things of that nature and hearing Bill Hicks over and over again. It's not... There are worse things to listen to over and over again, I think. My very special guest, which is still on the line, is the wonderful, the fabulous, and the I don't know how many other adjectives that are very nice that I can squeeze into this 12-minute segment. But I'd try if there was any point to it. She's great, and she's a nice lady. And you know something about women that I've learned as a radio show host and. Is that there are a lot of very, very talented, intelligent, and protective women out there who are actually really fighting for people's rights and survival instead of what's normally dominant is the men going out there and being really angry and aggressive and going out and attacking the enemy. Whereas I found I've gained new respect for women in this case that they're really out there to protect the innocent and the weak rather than attacking the evil and corrupt. And I think it's a symbiotic relationship that's really required in order to defeat these frickin' scumbags.
I couldn't have described them any better myself. I think you're right. I think women are starting to step up now, and I really do think it's that mothering side of us. I'm worried for my children and my grandchildren of where this country is going. And that's been my motivation, is to make sure that my children and grandchildren grow up in a country the same as I did, where we did have freedoms, we did have rights, we did have governments way back when that served the people and didn't serve corporations. And I think there are a lot of women who are out there now who are starting to wake up and think, well, if I don't do something in various areas, if I don't do something, then, you know, we're going to go to shit. And if once a
We've unfortunately got those pesky FCC American regulations here, so we can't say those words.
Oh, okay. Sorry. well, we're going to go to crap then. And if we don't do something now, then it's going to be too late. And once we get to the edge of that cliff, then it's a long, long haul back. And it's going to mean a lot of hardship and a lot of trial for a lot of people. And we've seen what's happened in the United States with the foreclosure on mortgages and whatever through what I believe was a contrived global financial crisis. And we can't allow that to happen. And we can't allow it to go the next step, which is government controlling absolutely every aspect of our lives.
Now, I had been made aware, I'm not 100% sure, maybe you can corroborate this for me, that there is a bill before the House in Australia that will give and grant local councils the ability to make, draft and pass their own legislation.
Yes, well, we're having a Senate committee inquiry at the moment. Now, be aware this is on a federal government level, not a state government level. But the federal government is trying desperately to get local government recognised in the Constitution. And that's what it's going to take for them to be able to pass their own legislation. Now, if that happens, the plan is to dismantle state governments and we will have local government taking the place of state government. And then we will only have the federal government, which we all know. Our federal government here is beholden to the UN and the treaties that we've signed over decades that basically the UN is calling in its chips now and saying, OK, you've signed these treaties, now it's time to give us what you promised. And Agenda 21, of course, is at the forefront of that. So I've been urging people to write to the Senate committee, just a letter, my will be done, that we've already had two referendums on this. And they failed because people know, or people used to know, what this would mean. So if people don't actually write to the Senate committee and take an action step, then I believe that, you know, the submissions that this committee receives will all be in favour of local government being recognised, and it may just be used, the results of this committee may just be used to support that piece of legislation and divert away from a referendum, which is, by our constitution, is the only way that this could possibly happen. But we've seen our government undermine our constitution now on so many levels that it's just not funny. This will be the final straw. I believe that will be game over if local government is recognised in our constitution and is given those powers. That will be game over for Australia.
That's Agenda 21 protocol, isn't it, to give the local authorities more power? I'm theorising here that all centrally located tyrannies throughout history have been really inefficient and incapable of controlling and enslaving people indefinitely, whereas what the lesson of history has told us that locally run communities with local issues and local representatives and things of that nature are far better at regulating and helping other communities. But if you flip that around, imagine if you had one global system that allows for all of those independent little local councils and everything, but they're all implementing the same agenda from a central level while operating at a local government level, you would, for the first time, I think, maybe theoretically, have a world government that is capable of literally controlling every minute aspect of everybody's lives forever.
Absolutely.
That's my great fear.
Absolutely, you're right. And, of course, you know, we have, in South Australia, we have numerous local councils. I think we've got about 90 just in South Australia alone. And they have a very small area to look after. And to implement these policies, it would be very, very easy for them because they're big bureaucracies already. And it frightens the hell out of me that there are some people out there who have bought the lamestream media line of, you know, we're over-governed, we need fewer politicians, and this is the way to do it. Get rid of state government and we'll just have local government. They're more answerable to us. You know, it'll be a closer, more intimate relationship with local government than what you have with your state politicians. Well, people need to understand that doing that removes all of the safeguards. That at the moment, legislation needs to go through two houses of parliament and get passed. And we've got a very functional legislative council in South Australia at the moment. We have seven Labor members, we have seven Liberal members, and we have seven minor parties and crossbenchers, independents. So there is never a majority of one party or the other holding the legislative council, holding the balance of power. So they all need to negotiate, really, with crossbenchers and independents. And that makes for good law. It makes for us to be able to amend legislation, and especially now that I'm aware of Agenda 21, I'm actually able to put up amendments that can hold it off for a while, if you like, and basically get the government to put their intentions on the record. And they're quite reticent to do that, of course. So at least we have, until 2014, when our state election occurs, at least we have some power left in the Legislative Council to be able to protect property rights and land rights and your own personal space, your own personal area. So if local government is going to be responsible for that, then they can roll out at lightning speed all of these environmental policies. Property rights.
What I think might happen there is that the Australian federal government will then dictate to the local councils directly and, in essence, out of having a more intimate relationship with your politicians, actually, they get even further away from you and dictate to you from even further afield.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Well, state government at the moment, we're seeing a lot of legislation dribbling down from federal government. You know, we're calling it harmonisation of laws.
That's very Orwellian.
Oh, it is. It is. And I tell everybody, go back now and read two books, 1984 and Brave New World, because we're living both of them.
Hold on. See, we're coming to a break here now. We've got you on for one more hour, as I've got down on the schedule here. And I thank you so much for your time. And I've got this real concern for my Aussie brethren that we'll be sitting around, and one day, you know, you'll have your barbecues and your Darwin stubbies confiscated by some Nazi in a green uniform or something like that, and everything that made Australia awesome and free and fun will be gone forever. We'll be right back.